open a conference committee on Senate Bill 729A. Thank you, committee members, for finding time at a crazy time to show up here today. We will open a work session at this time on Senate Bill 729A. And the purpose of this meeting is to consider proposed amendments to Senate Bill 729A. And Legislative Council has drafted proposed conference committee amendments, which you should have in front of you, the dash four amendments. And obviously, the sequence of the number, it leaves it open to other options out there, depending on the will of the committee. So at this point, Senator Beyer, I'd like a motion, and then let's see, should we take testimony before the motion? What's the process? Testimony before the motion or after?
I think it could be either way.
Why don't you make a motion on the dash four?
Madam Chair, I move the dash A4 amendments into Senate Bill 729.
Senator Beyer has moved to adopt the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 729. And under discussion, I will ask if Mr. Bricker and Mr. Ginsburg would like to come and say a few words.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, representatives and senators. My name is Mark Ginsburg. I apologize if I get some of the form of this stuff wrong. I don't testify very often, but I've testified a couple times on this bill. One of the underlying bottom line issues is there are two things that this bill would have done. The first is it clarifies that existing bicycles would be made technically legal. Right now, a bicycle with a front handbrake under our old law is probably illegal, because if you can't make the front wheel skid, which would cause you most likely to crash, you're probably in technical violation. And the current 729 would clarify that all you got to do is make it stop, not fall over to prove a point. But the second part, which I understand is most likely going to go away under the A4 amendment, I would still speak in favor of, because the underlying issue for riders who use fixed gear bicycles is that the issue of whether or not they are equipped with a brake has been the one that the trial courts have split on. Some trial court judges under the PG versus Boley analysis have found that equipped with a brake, equipped under Merriam-Webster's Third Unabridged, is to provide that which is necessary, and a brake is a device for slowing. And they found that, therefore, a fixed gear bicycle is equipped with a brake, and some other trial court judges have found that they're not. So I would respectfully suggest, if there's any chance to keep in that last phrase to clarify that we do that, or at least have some legislative history that shows the intent of this committee and our state legislature to clarify the existing trial court confusion, which is in essence making it harder for some people to legally safely ride their bicycles. I'll stop at that point.
Madam Chair, may I ask a few questions?
Oh, please, Senator.
Thank you very much. I have several. First of all, a statement. The three of us have been working together on this issue now for 10 months, has it been, or 9 months,
yes.
Something like that.
That's right.
And the main gist of where we all three got together on this was the incredible growth of a bicycle called the Fixie, which when I started racing competitively was really left for bike messengers in New York City, but certainly it has become one of the fastest growing segments of the cycling community. And we had some fixed gear riders, very experienced cyclists, getting ticketed because of some arcane thing about a front brake. And so it is with that and working with both of these gentlemen that I wrote this bill, or submitted it to LC with Mr. Ginsburg's help. Explain to us a couple of things. First of all, why is a, just for the record, because intent, our intent here is to say that a fixed gear bicycle has stopping power. A fixed gear bicycle using your own legs, like kids all across America, is how you stop a fixed gear bicycle. I want you to clarify what a fixed gear is. And number two, I also want you to clarify the absolute ludicrousness of the former law that said a front brake should be the standard of a braking device. A front brake, colleagues, is where it's just not the brake of choice when you need to stop, slow down, control your bicycle. I mean, the law that we're trying to fix is outdated, and I agree, by striking off that sentence, we're not doing our intent, Justice, if you could comment to those two things.
Chair Burdick, Senator Atkinson, thank you. A fixed-gear bicycle is akin to a big wheel in that there's no coasting mechanism. In fact, until about 1900, all bicycles were fixed gears until a freewheel mechanism was invented. And so the way the rider controls the speed of the bicycle is by their pedaling speed. If you want to go faster, you pedal faster. If you want to go slower, you pedal slower. And then to stop the bicycle, you can either pedal slower and slower and slower, or simply stop pedaling and make the back wheel skid, which can be done safely and is done safely. The city of Portland, where I live and work, doing work as a bicycle accident litigation attorney, keeps excellent traffic safety records, and they've not shown any statistical blips at all or data points to suggest that fixed gear bicycles are unsafe or are even statistically differentiable in bicycle-car collisions, bicycle-only collisions, or anything of that nature. The data supports that they're just as safe as any other bicycle. And then the second part of the senator's question concerning a front brake, the problem with a front brake, of course, is if the rider uses only the front brake, they do have the potential to go flying over their handlebars, to stop too quickly and shift their weight forward as compared to a rear brake, such as a fixed gear brake, so that while it is doable for an experienced rider to use a front brake, to require that only would not be the safest way to do it. And then the issue, as the senator said, that started this whole process was the clarification of the old law to clarify whether or not when the original ORS 815-282A was passed, whether or not equipped with a brake encompassed a fixed-gear bicycle, whether or not a fixed-gear bicycle was equipped with a brake. And I think it's my understanding that the goal here today is to clarify that as well. Thank you.
Mr. Bricker.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. For the record, my name is Scott Bricker, and I'm with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. The BTA works to represent bicyclists in Oregon, and we work with individual bicyclists for transportation, the bicycle industry, recreation, and we even support police officers on bicycles. And so there's actually the engrossed bill is something that we supported, the ability for to effectively have police officers use bicycles as a piece of equipment that they can use. For us, I guess this issue is broken out into two points. One, which is updating the general standard for what is used as the safe stopping standard, and we support that. We support the change that's here. The skidding of the rear of a wheel really is an antiquated standard, and the Uniform Vehicle Code has updated that standard to be the standard that's reflected here. The issue of types of brakes, whether you have a brake on your bike, is for a bicycle it's kind of a semi-complex. There are disc brakes, there are brake pads, there are really a lot of different types of brakes. And different types of bikes are used by different types of people. My understanding is the intent of this bill was to say, and I think Senator Atkinson would really fall into this category, that if you have a fixed-geared bicycle that you ride on the track or that you ride for training and recreation, that you should, if you can safely operate that bicycle, that you should be able to take it out of your garage, out of your stable, out of your shed, and ride it on the street without having to equip. And you can imagine someone who wanted to go to a race, who wanted to be able to ride to that race, to be able to just get onto that bicycle and ride to that race. So in that way, we support having fixies be able to ride legally under the law. At the same time, fixies are a complex bicycle to ride, much more complex than just a cruiser. And so in another way, we've heard from some folks that said, well, you know, if you've never ridden a fixed-geared bicycle and you do one without additional brakes, you could be in for a hazard. The stopping distance standard, we think, generally would cover that whole issue. I mean, from my standpoint, the ability to stop within a safe distance really is the crux of the issue. We had originally submitted a Dash 1 amendment back that didn't go through, but we had submitted an amendment that basically would say that bicycles should be able to stop And I guess the reason why I'm going through this whole thing is that from an enforcement standpoint, which I think is one of the major issues here, you know, a car must have brakes, and I don't know all the law regarding brakes for a car, but it's very difficult to see what brakes you have underneath your hood of the car. I mean, a police officer doesn't necessarily stop you to say whether or not your brakes work. I think the same thing kind of goes true with the bike, that we're really looking at crash situations here. And so as I would encourage this committee, whether it's now or in the future, and who looks to work on this issue, is to try and create a safe standard that encourages people who can safely ride bicycles that are safe, and I think fixies are, to be able to ride them. But if you can't ride them safely, to not be able to ride them. And so that would include someone who's never been on a fixie, but also that if there was a crash situation, that a police officer could reconstruct. So if you had brakes that were technically legal, but they weren't attached, or you had no brake pads on your bicycle, and you might not get a ticket for that because a police officer couldn't see it, but if you were in a crash and your brake pads weren't on your bicycle, that would be a contributing factor, and that would be held against you. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that we support the change of the statute, and the idea of actually taking out the whole idea of a break we would support as well. But I think either way, moving this forward, we'd like to see this update, and hopefully we can continue to work on getting the fixie piece, clarifying how someone who wants to be able to and can safely ride a fixie should be able to under the law. So I hope that was helpful, but I'll definitely take any questions. Thank you.
Questions from the committee?
Thank you, Chair Burdick. Question for, and actually I'd like a response from each one of you to this question. The statement was made that fixie is a braking mechanism and that it can stop as effectively as other braking mechanisms. How true is that of the person who is not experienced in riding a fixie? That is, can I'm a fairly avid recreational cyclist, never been on a fixie, probably never will be, but if I were to climb on a fixie, would I be able, within a few minutes, then kind of get the hang of it and be able to expect to brake effectively, or would there be a longer learning curve and potential hazard to myself and others while I was learning?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative McPherson, I too have not ridden a fixie, but I do plan to go out to the velodrome and ride one.
I can speak to that.
Okay, well, yeah, and let me just say that I've heard stories of people who have never ridden a fixie before. I mean, having a challenge learning, but I think that you can learn, like you learn a parking lot. I mean, you can definitely learn because a lot of people do it. And learning without brakes might be even more, with additional brakes, might be more challenging. But I think once you learn how to ride it, it would basically be, I mean, you could effectively, it would be like just having a rear brake on your bike, which many, many bikes do, and it would be more effective than many coaster brakes, which actually don't have a pretty low performance standard as a bicycle. So, and maybe Senator Atkinson wants to kick in more. I don't know.
Well, as my team used to say, riding a bike is just like riding a bike. So you will have the hang of riding a fixed-gear bike in about 30 seconds because you'll hop on it and you'll mess around a little bit. And then you'll talk to somebody and go, oh, this is easy, and you'll quit pedaling. Because everybody does who rides a fixie. Mark can certainly speak to that. You'll think you can coast. And all of a sudden, the bike will lurch forward, and you'll realize you can't coast because you're affixed to the fixie. And so if your first question is, you can ride it very safely because it'll stop a lot quicker than 15 feet if you try to coast. The second thing is that it's incredibly simple and incredibly light, but the fact that you have constant motion is why high-end cyclists will ride them all year long. It makes your pedal motion completely smooth. That's why everyone rides them. The ease that you pick them up with is secondhand. It's actually, in a lot of ways, once you get used to it, riding a bike that coasts or with a freewheel is, there's a reason why a lot of people ride it. It's actually easy, I think, and the stopping power is not 15 feet glide to a stop. It's immediate. So a non-freewheeled bicycle, a non-cassette freewheeled bicycle is... And it's my intent with this thing to say that a fixed bicycle has a substantial brake.
Senator Atkinson, this brings up what is the objection with just having that brake there? on the front. You've got a rear bike with your
if I have a Ferrari and I put a Chevy hood ornament on it from the 30s, it's kind of the same deal, because having a brake up there on a bicycle, many of these bicycles do not have what's called brazons or places for the cables to go. So you got your duct taping, your electrical taping cable onto a bike to satisfy a law. Number one. Number two, a brake does nothing on a traditional brake does nothing on a fixed gear bicycle. If you go to a very popular bicycle sold in America, it's called Bianchi. It's an Italian bicycle. You can go on there and click on one of their most popular mountain bikes, which is a single speed fixed geared mountain bike. And it does not have brakes as we would apply them in the law. It has disc brakes. So it's just like Mark said, the world is so wide open that you can have a disc brake, or in terms of a kind of bicycle that I have at home, another one of our collection.
Right, I think
it has an internal brake.
But a disc brake is a thing, right? It's an add-on to the bike? I don't know.
Well, I think I could speak to your question. The concern is, in essence, if a bicycle has a braking mechanism that works, and then the operator of that vehicle is told, despite the fact that you can do what the law requires, we're still requiring you to have more. That's, in essence, the bottom line objection. Just as we require seatbelts in cars, we do not yet legislate airbags. We've drawn a line. And some of those lines are somewhat arbitrary, but they change in time as technology changes.
But what is a disc brake?
A disc brake is just like some motorcycle front wheels, where against the hub itself there's a metal plate. And just like a car, cars have disc brakes, there's metal pads that squeeze against it.
But a disc brake, according to your interpretation, would comply with this, even without the exemption for fixies.
I don't know if you can put a fixed chair. I've never seen a disc brake on a
track. It would not work with a fixed gear or with a track-specific bicycle. Part of the difficulties the senator mentioned is the physically mounting them on the bicycles. They're simply not built with the correct holes drilled in the frame or the correct spacing even to physically fit an additional brake beyond the fixed gear.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. A question, having not ridden one of these bikes, and as the senator started to describe it, can I pedal it backwards?
Yes, you could.
Absolutely.
So I can actually reverse this bike, whereas a coasting bike, I have no power to go in reverse.
Yes, you can coast a coasting bike backwards. You could ride a fixed gear bike backwards. Yes, by pedaling backwards, you would go backwards.
Okay.
And then I'd still like to answer Representative McPherson's question. By way of my background, I've been racing bicycles for 23 years. I'm a multiple state champion in the Velodrome here, and Portland has one Velodrome. We'd, of course, like to see more when the rest of the state's ready. And one of the things that I do to give back to the community is I teach the classes on teaching people how to ride fixed gears. And if Representative McPherson wants, once the session's over, I'm happy to give you a private class.
My life would be in your hands.
But we, in essence, ask people to show up with their own helmet, their own shoes and pedals. And there are bicycles available for use that are fixed gear bicycles with no additional brake, only the fixed gear. And we put their pedals on, we adjust the saddle height, and we say, go. And we let them ride around. And the riding a bike part of it is just like riding a bike. And then the braking mechanism is simply learning to control the pedals as you're pedaling. And we teach people the basics of it in a couple of minutes. And within half an hour of their first time ever being on a fixed gear bicycle, we have them on the banks of the velodrome up in Portland. Portland has one of the steepest velodromes in the United States. If you go too slowly, you will slide off it. And we regularly, comfortably, safely put people on fixed gear bicycles with no additional brake on the velodrome within half an hour.
You did that with my daughter. Thank you very much. Are there other questions?
I do. Just another question, because I kind of...
I have two of them in my car. I really could go get one if it's helpful to the committee.
This is more about the process, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that I understand this bill passed the Senate, and the only change on the House side was the amendment, as I can tell, the amendment that we did. I think we did this in our Judiciary Committee.
That's correct.
The amendment that was the police officer amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It passed the House, and now we're talking about changing the bill that originally passed both houses with the exception of the police amendment.
That's correct. And it's not technically kosher under the rules, but we have a complaint-driven system under the rules. And I thought that the performance standard, given my concerns about the fixies, the performance standards was worth trying to save this session and then hold off the discussion on the fixies for maybe February, where we can talk about it more thoroughly and maybe get a demonstration from some of your bikes.
A follow-up, if I may. I'm still not clear. So, in other words, there was we passed it on the Senate side, we passed it on the House side, the way it's worded, but now there's a problem?
Yes, correct. And it was my problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Buyer's remorse, with no pun intended. For once, he had nothing to do with it. Senator Barr, you've been over there doing research here. Are you... Did you have any comments or questions?
Not about this part of the bill, Madam Chair.
Okay. We have, is there any other discussion or questions here? Representative Reed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will reluctantly support the amendments. I'm frustrated. The cases that I've heard about in Multnomah County, I think this, even with the adoption of these amendments and subsequent passage, I think we are moving the ball forward with respect to the performance standard, but I think it does leave open the question, or potentially, of what is a break. And it's my interpretation, my experience, that pedaling backward, I've not been on a fix-it either, but I'm persuaded by the stories and experiences I've seen of others that it does have a substantial break. And I would suggest that someone would quickly be stopped in under 15 feet, and if they didn't know what they were doing, it wouldn't take them long to learn, or to learn that they shouldn't probably be riding a bike like that. So I will reluctantly support it and hope that we can move forward to clarify it as soon as possible.
Thank you, and I certainly will continue working on this with all concern. I do apologize to everyone for the lateness of my second thoughts on this. It's sometimes what happens in this process. I would have to say, though, in terms of legislative history, by moving toward, even though the reference is to a break in the language that we're retaining, by moving to a performance-oriented statute, if the courts are divided anyway, I would think that this would give some, maybe just a little bit of advantage to the people who really do ride fixies proficiently. Not to say any who can guess what the courts would do, but I think we are moving toward a performance-oriented standard, and we may move farther toward a performance-oriented standard. It's just I want to proceed more cautiously. So is there any other discussion or question?
Madam Chair, I really would, as I know we have a difference of opinion, think that we should just clarify it for the judicial branch, especially as a owner, rider, operator of a fixed gear. And the other part is investing the amount of pain that I have in this particular bill and the embarrassment that our brand-new Representative Reed went through in his distinguished carry of the bill. I would hope that a more, perhaps, Representative McPherson could help Representative Reed so he didn't have to go through the heckling of helping me with the bill again. I'm already deep enough into my debt.
Senator Atkinson, I heard that Representative Reed did a masterful job.
Oh, yeah.
Under very difficult circumstances.
I'm sure that's far too generous.
But we are making something, with all due respect, more complicated than it needs to be. This is the simplest form of a bike. And
that's true. What I was trying to wonder is the bikes that I grew up on in the 50s, I think those were coasters with coaster brakes. I don't think fixies were given to kids. Tricycles were fixies.
My son rides.
I was going to offer that view that actually the best analogy to our childhood is a tricycle.
Madam
Chair, if I may, that was one of the things that I don't think has been brought up, but under the law, a tricycle is a bicycle, and therefore a tricycle would actually be illegal, at least under some, where an officer could give tickets. I mean, I think the main issue here is that there are officers giving tickets to fixie riders actively. So that's one of the issues, but that a tricycle could be considered illegal under the law as well. So hopefully this could be worked on so that my soon-to-be 8-month-old daughter could ride a tricycle.
Oh, hopefully not out on the public roads. Not yet, anyway.
No.
Okay. Any other...
Madam Chair, if I could offer... I will support the amendment, despite the shortcoming that Representative Reeves already identified, that it doesn't clarify the key point, that is, on which there's already a difference of judicial opinion. But I'll support it because, to me, I think it's sort of an interesting little subculture within the larger bicycle culture, the people who ride fixies. But what we really need to do is to engage the larger public in cycling, which they have to a large degree already, but we need to encourage broader participation because it's such a healthy and environmentally conscious kind of activity for people to engage in. And so I would not want to see us get too focused on the minor, sort of what I would characterize as a distraction, perhaps, of the status of one fairly exotic kind of vehicle. And I realize there are people who are passionate about their fixies, but they are a very small group, even the bicycling population. And what we want to do is to expand that larger base to as many people as we can. And so I think passing a performance standard that is the general standard for cycling is an advance that we ought to undertake.
And thank you for pointing that out. And that was certainly the spirit with which I approach all of these bicycle bills. I've worked on a number of them. And anything we can do to encourage biking and make our whole state a biking-friendly place is certainly where I'm going. And
velodromes.
Velodromes. I'm on the bill. I'm a sponsor of the velodrome bill, even though I've not been on a fixie. Okay. Further discussion? Okay. Would you like a roll call, or can we do this unanimously? Do you have objection, Senator Atkinson, to the dash four? Without objection, dash four adopted. Senator Beyer.
Well, Madam Chair, I've just been trying to get clarification because the amendment the House put into the bill only speaks to police officers, not peace officers. And whereas police officers are peace officers, not all peace officers are police officers. But the Police Chiefs Association said that will work for now.
Okay, well, we have further work to do on this whole subject, and I will be first up at the plate to continue the discussion.
Madam Chair, I move the Senate concur in the House amendments dated May 24th, and the bill be further amended with the A4 amendments and be repassed.
Senator Beyer has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated May 24th, and that the bill be further amended with the A4 amendments and repassed. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Thank you, committee. We are adjourned.